Hey, welcome everybody. I'm Dean Irvin along with Dr. Richard Miller, and we're seeing eye to eye today with Miller Eye Center. And we always talk about different things going on with your eye care and what's going on with eyes. Today we're going to talk about cosmetic eye problems, you know, and I've heard this more than I can even tell you. You know, if you have a female, or it can be a male too, that are having cosmetic eye problems, you know, everybody has questioned this. And everybody is taking phone photos using Instagram, TikTok these days, and one needs to feel good. Or needs to, you know, look good to feel good. I mean, let's talk about common appearance issues. And Dr. Miller, as always, thank you so much for being on with us. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you.
All right. And thanks for taking time. Let's start, first of all, with eyelash loss. What's some of the causes of that?
Well, there's basically about two causes. The most common is just simply, we'll say, we don't like to use dirty three-letter words, but getting more maturity, as we say, getting older, especially in women. And then the other problem is chronic lid infection can make you lose your lashes.
Okay. Now, is it more prevalent in women or men?
The lid infections in both. Women, though, tend to lose lashes more than men, or perhaps the women are more attuned to looking at their lashes, we'll say.
Okay. And, you know, so that's one thing that, you know, and you said some of the causes are aging, you said, or what are some of the causes again?
Oh, chronic lid infections.
Okay, lid in. All right, you know, that's what always throws me. You know, with, you know, sometimes, not to get real graph, but you wake up and they used to, it's sleep, or I don't know what the proper term is, but you know, does that? So is that some of the things that cause some of the problems? Is that an infection? I guess is what my question is. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, what it is, and we've spoken about this before, that term blepharitis.
Dr. Miller, you know, you're one of my best friends. I love you to death. And I got to tell everyone this story, that sometimes we talk, or he sends me some, you know, some of the topics of what we're going to be talking about. And I saw this blepharitis, and I go, I didn't even know how to say it. Dr. Miller, so patient, so kind. You know, he actually spelled it phonetically for me. That's what a nice guy he is. And I'm sure, you know, that's getting down to my level, that tells you what kind of man Dr. Miller is, because he is so kind. So thank you, Dr. Miller, for at least not making me feel totally stupid in this. So,
oh, gee, they did not train you about these things during radio school.
That's a fact. I learned something new today. So let's talk about that term, and what is it?
So this is, you know, on everybody's skin, we got, you know, like 5 million bacteria per square inch, mm-hmm. Typically the staphylococcal brand. And this bacteria can form what's called a biofilm. And a biofilm is a polysaccharide mixture that's sticky. Another version of this would be like plaque on your teeth. And the purpose of a biofilm is to keep the bacteria from being washed away. So you tend to get it on the edge of your lid because you can't clean that area without hurting your eye. Some studies show it's as high as 68% of people have it. And obviously some people have more involvement than others. So what do we do for this? Well, the old method was, and people used to call this granulated eyelids, they'd use baby shampoo and scrub with a washcloth or medicated lid scrubs. But you know what? Neither of those choices work well. And the reason is the bacteria actually produce a compound called adhesin. It's almost as strong as super glue. And you can't get the biofilm or the bacteria off your lid. So what we have is a treatment called Blefex.
Okay.
And that's another fancy word that you can ignore. It's using a little miniature Dremel tool that has a rotary pad on it, a foam pad, and special soap, and we just polish off the biofilm off the lashes and the lid.
Okay.
You know, it just takes about 5 minutes down in the office, and usually when you do that, you're infection-free for a year or more.
Now, you know, as we talk about eyelash loss, and again, everyone, I'm talking with Dr. Richard Miller from Miller Eye Center here in Rockford at 2995 East Rock Drive. Also, you can give them a call at 815-226-1500. And I know they'd be happy to talk. If you have questions that you hear us talking about, please give them a call and see if they can help you. And I know they can, that's for sure. So, Dr. Miller, you started to, I guess one of the things I was asking, can lash loss reverse at all then?
You know, it's actually a miracle, but we can actually grow eyelashes.
Really?
So the name of the prescription is called Latisse. And what this came from, when we developed what's called a prostaglandin analog glaucoma medication, we noticed all these patients on these drops got longer eyelashes and more eyelashes from just using the drops. So it's the same medicine. It's you know, obviously designed for you to put on your eyelid. It takes about 16 weeks to get maximum effect. You just put it on once a day, you know, and you'll get more lashes and longer eyelashes. The only thing is, you know, it is a prescription item, and you kind of have to use it forever. Because if you stop using it, you know, 16 weeks later, you're going to go back to the way you used to be.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I guess the question then, is it real expensive to do this?
Yeah, the prescription is typically about $140 a month.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm going to get in trouble here, but I'm going to say, you know, women do spend a lot of money on things like this. So I don't know if $140 is high or low. It depends on, you know, I guess if you're buying skin creams that cost $80, it's not a high price. But
you know, Dr. Miller, we talk about that.
It does work quite well.
Yeah. You know, if you're feeling uncomfortable by not having eyelashes, or, you know, it's not a lot of money. I mean, that's what I see. You know, so even though it might be a lot, but, you know, what is it worth to you to, you know, feel better about yourself? So,
well, exactly, and it's up to the patient to decide if they want to do that. But, I mean, you know, everyone's, you know, women spend a fortune on artificial eyelashes.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get around that problem.
Yeah, I see that. And it looks like a butt. Well, no, that's me talking, not Dr. Mill. I'm going to stop. Okay. With age, you know, you see body parts sag and age and because of gravity. What about around the eyes? I've seen somewhere, you know, and Dr. Miller, not to get too far into the, but I've seen people talk about, oh, I got to go to a plastic surgeon and get this handled. And, you know, what do you think about all of that?
Well, there's a couple of things that happen, and most people don't notice it, but hopefully after our little talk, they will. Number one, with time, your eyebrows sag down your forehead. So they may start, you know, like a quarter inch or half inch above the bony rim of your orbit that you can feel with your finger. But then with age, they can be down below the orbit. So they go down low, and then that makes excess skin that falls over and covers the eye and the eyelid. So that's one cause, one thing that we see sagging around in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
The other, a lot of people can just get droopy eyelids. And this is a little bit hereditary. I mean, you look at baby pictures, and their eyes were a little bit droopy then. But that can worsen with age. And it's somewhat hereditary.
Yeah, one of my brothers have that, to be honest with you. And, you know, so when you see something like that, what do you think? I mean, yeah, obviously.
Well, we've got a couple of newer things out.
That sure.
So we have an eye drop prescription that lifts the eyelids up. Not the eyebrows, but the eyelids. So if you've got droopy eyes, it can lift them up. You know, it's just a little, but a little is sometimes all you need. And it lasts for 6 to 8 hours. You just put a drop in. And it's called UPNEEK, UPNEEQ.
Okay.
It's cosmetic. Insurance doesn't cover it. But I think it comes out to about $75 a month if you buy it, like, 3 bottles, 3 months supply.
Sure.
So that's not bad. If you want to stop your lids from being droopy, if they're blocking your vision.
Okay.
Now, the eyebrows are trickier to take care of, because now we're talking plastic surgery, facelift kind of thing. But I'll tell everyone the best thing in the world to treat that is what's called an endoscopic coronal brow lift. So what are we talking about? Well, you start up in the hair, you make an incision, you put a television camera in there, and you dissect down all the way down to the brows, separating the skin from your bony forehead.
Oh my God.
And then you pull it up, screw it into your bone on your higher up on your head, and it looks marvelous. It takes 20, 30 years off your face, the upper part of your face. The problem is, even though it's been out for years, it's a little tricky to do. So a lot of doctors don't do it. But if you want to, you know, you can stand in front of a mirror, pull your eyebrows up. If you like the look, you want to find someone that does endoscopic coronal brow lifts.
Is that something you do, Dr. Miller?
No.
Okay.
It's raining years ago how to do it, but demand was poor, so I don't do that.
Okay. Okay.
So, but certainly other people do.
Okay.
Now, there's two kinds of plastic surgeons we should talk about.
Sure.
There's plain old plastic surgeons, then what's called ophthalmic plastic surgeons. So an ophthalmic plastic surgeon is someone who trained in ophthalmology, then took some extra years training in plastic surgery just for around the eye. So Okay. Let's say a lot of them do the coronal brow lift, although some regular plastic surgeons do it. But the main thing you want to see an ophthalmic plastic surgeon for is if you have a droopy lid.
Okay.
And the reason is the general plastic surgeons tend to shorten the lid. And although it lifts it up, a lot of the times it doesn't close well at night and you get dry eye problems that can drive you crazy. Hmm. What an ophthalmic plastic surgeon will do, he will find the cause for this. And the cause is invariably the muscle that lifts the lid gets separated. So he finds the original attachment, finds the muscle, connects the two together, and then you have a normal operating lid. So just caution everyone, not that I'm anti-plastic surgeon, but if you have a droopy eyelid, you're better off with an ophthalmic plastic surgeon fixing it.
All right. We are talking with Dr. Richard Miller from Miller Eye Center. He's located at 2995 East Rock Drive here in Rockford. You can give him a call at 815-226-1500. And we call this program Seeing Eye to Eye with Dr. Miller. And we talk about a little bit of everything involved with the eye. Today, cosmetic eye problems. And anymore, everybody is so conscious of how they look. And Dr. Miller, as we've talked with some of the things you've told us, really, if you take care of some of these issues, it really will take away years of how you look, that's for sure. So people don't have to live with what was given to them. I mean, you can really do some things, that's for sure. You know, Dr. Miller, one thing, I've seen bumps on eyelids. Is that something that people need to be concerned with, or what do you say about that?
Well, you know, rarely it can be a cancer, but the most common things are just there's a couple of varieties of things we see. The most common one is age spots, which is formerly known as seborrheic keratosis. President Bush made it famous years ago by having a couple taken off. But they're brown spots, tend to be soft, and they're due to exposure to sunlight. Then there's sebaceous cyst, and that's a fancy term for a pimple. So it's an oil gland that closed off, it keeps making oil, usually has a black head on the top of it and then white oil underneath. Okay. And those are the kind of things you can just kind of pop them and get rid of them from a surgical standpoint.
Wow.
Then we have what's called a papilloma.
Okay.
And these are actually, they're warts.
Okay.
And they're caused by the infamous HPV virus, which a lot of people have. They're prevalent around the eyes because people rub their eyes. So they are contagious. The more you rub, the more you spread them. And they can look kind of differently. They can be rough shaped with little fronds on them. They can be flat. They can be stick out like a horn. Doctors can usually tell by just looking at them.
Uh-huh.
Final thing we want to mention are moles. You know, moles are typically smooth, pigmented bumps. They're almost always present from birth, and they're a combination of neuro tissue. And, you know, they are common also on the face, or they're common elsewhere in the body, too, but you just notice them more on the face.
You know, can you treat these? I mean, how would you treat them?
Well, yes, all these can be treated. So, you know, the main thing is you can excise them, basically, get an injection, numb it up, and, you know, cut it off the surface of the skin. We can also do cryotherapy on some of them where you just use liquid nitrogen and you freeze it, and they usually fall off and heal up so you don't see any scar. We have a newer technique is using what's called intense pulsed light. It's sort of a near laser energy created by a machine, and it will fade, especially good for like age spots, redness, things like that.
Okay. You know, speaking of redness, you know, I have had in the past where I've seen on myself some red spots on the skin. Is that something that, it always comes back to me. Ever notice that, Dr. Miller? It always comes back to me. Ladies and gentlemen,
you have every medical problem in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, I get my doctor's appointment with Dr. Miller. Boy, oh boy. If you send me a bill one of these days, I totally understand. I think I better pay it. But,
I'm just worried you might need a mortgage to cover it.
Thank you. Boy, now this, I keep telling everybody, this is one of my closest friends. Boy, can you imagine if he didn't like me? That's for sure. So those red spots, what are they? And should I be concerned?
There's two kinds. There's
okay.
Small, bright red, typically round, people call them cherry red spots. That's a hemangioma. And that's an abnormal collection of blood vessels. A lot of people have those. It's nothing cancerous or anything, but you can get rid of those too. Usually cryotherapy works pretty well. Now, what's more common is a lot of people will have these dilated blood vessels. They're typically on the cheeks, but they can also be, on your chin and forehead.
Okay.
And most of these fall in the category of what's called acne rosacea.
Okay. And tell me about that, because I'll tell you what I thought created some of that, what you're talking about, on the cheeks and things. I see why I'm not a doctor, but I thought it was also in regards to drinking.
Well, we're going to get into that in a moment.
Oh, I would. Perfect. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So acne rosacea is an inflammatory skin disease. Very, very common, but of unknown cause. It's more common in pale-skinned people. You know, you think of it in Scottish people. And the classic example of speaking of drinking is, for the older crowd here, is W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So he had acne rosacea because they also will get a thickened red nose from it.
So oh, wow.
You see redness, you see these dilated blood vessels, you have bumps and thickening the nose, and that's what acne rosacea is. Now, it has triggers, certain triggers, you know, like chocolate, heat, but one of the main triggers we know for sure is alcohol.
So it is.
So a common thing you would always, if you saw some acne rosacea, people would offhandedly say, oh, he must be drinking a lot.
Huh. So there's some truth to that then.
Right, but not.
Wow.
You can still have the acne rosacea and never have drunk a drop of alcohol.
Wow. Wow. Well, they're going to get blamed no matter what. Talking with Dr. Richard Miller from Miller Eye Center, you can give him a call, give the office a call tomorrow. That number is 815-226-1500, and they will absolutely try to answer any of your questions. Dr. Miller, are there prescriptions then to control the rosacea?
Yeah, there's a gel called metronidazole.
Okay.
And, you know, I put a lot of people on it. I send people to dermatologists to treat it. I don't know why. Well, what happens is everybody starts using it, and then they don't use it down the road. It has a lot of side effects. You can't get in the eye. It's going to burn or sting. So it just hasn't been a long-term effective treatment, at least in my experience.
Okay. You know, I've heard a lot about IPL. What is that term? I mean, what is that?
So that stands for intense pulse light.
Okay.
And that is, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier, to get rid of aging spots. It's been used by dermatologists for years as an anti-aging treatment, and it gets rid of red blood vessels, it fades age spots, improves small wrinkles, and you actually develop new collagen in the skin, which is the anti-aging nicety of it.
Hmm.
So this works very well for acne rosacea.
Huh. You know, I noticed Dr. Miller with one of my brothers, you know, he has kind of puffy bags under his eyes. Is that something that you see much of, or is there anything that can be done?
Yeah, that's very common, common with, you know, getting older, common with heredity, sometimes worsened by allergies.
Okay.
Now, what that is, the eye itself is surrounded by a bag of fat. It's kind of a protective thing, you know, cushioning any blow that hits the eye.
Okay.
And there's a thin membrane in the eyelid that holds the fat away from the eyelid tissue. But many people, it thins with age, the fat moves forward, and then you get those pouches. And not only below the eye, but you can also get them above the eye, too.
Okay. You know, you see pictures all the time of ladies, primarily, they're in a spa, and you see they've got cucumbers on their eyes. Does that help do anything, or is it? I guess, well, I'm just confused with the cucumber.
Either cucumbers, or they always talk about hemorrhoid cream.
Oh, that's right. I've heard that too.
Really? I don't think those treatments are very effective. So,
okay,
the only effective treatment is surgery. So you can do two things. You can go in there and take the fat out, and then you'll get rid of the pouch. However, if you don't repair the separated membrane, you're going to have more fat move from around the eye and come forward in the future.
Hmm.
So, once again, you want to see an ophthalmic plastic surgeon, because they're typically the only ones that do the pouch repair.
Okay. And then also you see a lot of people, and I assume, you know, I used to have, when I had my swimming pool, you know, it was all the time. It was like I had red eyes. Can that cause, I mean, is it just the irritation of the eye, or is that dry? Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that cause a red eye. The most common thing is basically intrinsic to the patient, where they're just not they're either not producing enough tears, or the tears are evaporating too quickly. We also have environmental conditions like dry, windy conditions, dusty conditions can irritate your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Prolonged staring, like at a computer screen, phones, driving like we do now, that can make your eyes red. And then chemicals. I mean, the main reason you're red from pool is the high chlorine levels in the pool irritate your eye and they turn red.
Okay. You know, and then the term I've heard so much of, and I hear it even at my own home, you know, dry eye, and I'm saying, you know, we've had a lot of smoke lately from Canada, and everybody, I've heard them say, well, this affects my dry eye. Well, I guess my question, can a doctor tell the cause of dry eye? I mean, if someone goes in?
Yeah, there's new technology that allows us to divide the dry eye into two basic varieties. Unfortunately, a lot of doctors don't have these techniques, these test abilities, but if they do, you want to know, is your eye what we call evaporative dry eye, meaning that the tears are evaporating off your eye quicker than normal, and it's also due to a lack of oil in your eyes. So what we have oil in the eyes that is on the surface, like the old oil on top of the water. And if you have enough oil, it keeps your tears from evaporating. But a lot of people have decreased oil because of plugged up oil glands, and they get a evaporative dry eye from poor oil production. Now, that's 86% of people. The other 14% of people have what we call an aqueous deficient dry eye, and that is they're just not producing enough of the watery tears needed. And this is almost always an autoimmune problem where okay. The body is attacking the structures in the eye that produce these tears and shutting them down. It typically even goes along with a dry mouth.
Interesting. Okay, so again, as you get into all of this, how long does it take you, if a patient comes in, Dr. Miller, that you can say, okay, here's what's going on, you know, and here's what I guess how we treat this, you know. So is it something you can pick pretty quick then, or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the tests just take a few minutes each, so it's not a big deal. To diagnose, and then depending upon what's wrong, then we talk about the different treatments. The only thing is, Dean, I'm worried that are we going on too long? Do we need to?
No. I want to finish. I want
two parts.
No. I think this is great. And if you have time, and Dr. Miller gives our time so freely, and I just don't want to hold you from things you have to do, too. So,
No, I'm fine. I was more concerned with your time.
Yeah, no, we're fine. You know, so as we talk about this, I think it's important for people to know, and we are talking about cosmetic eye problems, as we talk about, we were just talking about puffy bags under their eyes, and you were talking about some of the things. What, Dr. Miller, what are some of the things that, do people let this stuff just go on, that they feel like they have to live with it? Or why do people not just come to you sooner and say, hey, what's going on where we can get this treated?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some people, even though they're dry, are asymptomatic. So you look at their eye, it's red, it has all these dry spots on it, and they just don't notice or don't feel pain. So that's part of it. The other thing is maybe they've visited eye doctors in the past, and unfortunately, you know, most of this new knowledge we have on dry eye, it's all just in the last 10, 15 years at the most. So a lot of doctors, unfortunately, and they shouldn't, so eye doctors, et cetera, kind of blow off dry eye and ignore it, thinking, well, I don't know how to treat it, I don't know what's wrong, and you know, let's not get into this and talk about something else. So that's the other problem, but there's a lot of dry eye out there. Studies have shown at least 20% of the population does have a dry eye, and you know, from maybe I get a wrong picture. Sometimes it seems like 80% of my patients have a dry eye, but it is common. It'll cause blurred vision, crusty irritation. Conversely, strange things like you tear more. Well, that sounds contrary, but that happens also with dry eye. So it's a common problem out there that's just not handled well by doctors.
Yeah, no, it really goes on. It's interesting to me, you know, talking about dry eye. We've talked about, you know, red eyes. We've talked about all the different things going on. And, you know, what about, are there other things people should be concerned about or look for?
Sure. Well, you know, certainly allergies. Airborne allergies are very common, and that can cause red eyes. And it has the same symptoms as a dry eye. So the doctor can tell by looking at your eye if it's allergic in nature. You get these little bumps underneath the eyelid, either the upper lid or lower lid. And then you can go down the whole route of, you know, treating allergies, which, you know, we can go into detail if you wish.
Yeah, I'd like to, if you've got a few minutes. You know, what are some of the things you would...
So the first thing you need to do when you have airborne allergies, whether it's eye or nose or throat, you want to get skin testing.
Okay.
There are two types of allergy testing. There's blood work, there's skin testing. The blood work is basically worthless. It's wrong 50% of the time. So the gold standard is to get the skin testing. And these days, it's not like the old patch where you'd scratch and it hurt. Basically, you just put 60 or so different substances on the skin and see if you react to it.
Very, very simple. I've seen that actually you came into the radio station and we saw it in action. It's really very, very cool. You know,
it just takes a few minutes. It's simple. It's easy. Most insurances cover it. And you want to really know what you're allergic to, because sometimes it's easier to fix things. So, you know, if you're allergic to mites, which are a little microscopic creature that lives in everybody's pillows and beds, you just encase the mites in a cover, mite-proof covers, and you're cured. Simple. Done with. Obviously, if it's a common tree outside, aside from cutting down your neighbor's trees and things like that, under the dead of darkness, of course, you know, that you have to treat in a different way. And the best drop in the world for that is called Pataday.
Okay.
You want to get the extra strength version.
Okay.
It used to be prescription only, about almost, it was as high as $400 a bottle, but now you can get, I think, two for $23 at Costco.
Okay. Is there any effects or anything that happens that you know of? Side effects
there
with that?
Zero side effects with the drop. That's why they went over the counter. So it's just used one drop at bedtime.
Okay.
Gives you 24 hours of coverage and helps you whether you got summertime allergies to plants, or you got wintertime allergies to fungus, molds, those sorts of things. It really works nicely.
And you talked about some of the conditions or what causes them. I mean, is the light from the sun dry and dusty conditions? One question before we go, Dr. Miller. People, you know, as you're looking at cosmetic things, can folks change their iris color? Is it contacts? Is that the way, or what can be done?
Well, we can do certain color changes if possible. So let's say your eyes are light brown, and you want to go darker brown.
Uh-huh.
The same drops we grow eyelashes with tend to grow pigment in the brown iris. So if you use those eye drops in the eye, you'll end up with a browner iris. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
And let's say you're half brown and half blue. You can make those brown, too. You cannot take a solid blue eye and make it brown. You have to start with some brown color to it, or the drops won't work.
Wow.
Now, what a lot of people want, they want to go from brown to blue-eyed. Theoretically, you know, we have ways we might be able to do it, but currently there's nothing on the table.
Okay.
What you could do, and has been proposed, is using a laser to remove pigment from the back of the iris.
Okay.
So the more pigment you have on your iris, the darker your color is. If you got a lot of pigment, you're brown. If you have no pigment, you're blue. And if you have in-between pigment, you can be green, gray, those kind of colors.
Okay.
So people propose using a laser to knock the pigment off, which you can do. The problem is the process itself can sometimes cause what's called pigmentary dispersion glaucoma, and then you go from a cosmetic problem to a real medical problem that could threaten your vision.
Yeah.
The easiest way to go blue these days is if you just wear colored contacts.
Yep. Okay. Dr. Richard Miller, it's Miller Eye Center here in Rockford. They're located at 2995 East Rock Drive. Give their office a call tomorrow if you have questions, not only about cosmetic eye problems, but any kind of eye problem. That number is 815-226-1500. Dr. Miller, as always, we appreciate you, and we'll do it again next month for sure.
Oh, sounds great, Dave.
All right, Dr. Miller, have a great night, and thank you.
Thank you, too.